Like Gordon said, I hope to relate Jesus' life story. So I'll just use it as if it was him. I haven't got the accent. But we trust that the Lord will bless. Don't understand why God takes people or why things happen, but one thing be sure, everything is for the good. And he makes no mistakes. And maybe God in his mercy has brought you here tonight in order that somehow he might touch your heart. Maybe not saved, don't know the Savior, having come to personal faith in him. And who knows, just the mention of his name might just bring its way into your heart, that you tonight might pass from death unto life and from the power of Satan unto God. How marvelous that I met G.S. 33 years ago. And so I'll give you his life story. I have heard it maybe 600 or 700 times. So I think I should know it. I'll speak as if it was him. I was brought up in a high-caste Hindu family. I was the eldest son, and I was being trained to be the priest for the family. Through school and through college, and then I entered the Indian Army. Very difficult to get into it, but I was there. I got promotion very quickly, and eventually I became a captain. Everything was going wonderfully well, but then one day tragedy struck. I took ill, and I didn't know what was the matter. I didn't know what I had or what it was, until eventually I was diagnosed with TB. The Army had facilities for every ailment, but not for TB. The only place where I could be treated was in a Baptist mission hospital in the northeast of India. A missionary doctor left the affluence of America to go to this hospital. And after some time, he realized there was an epidemic of TB. And he sent word to his church that he needed money to build a TB sanatorium. Four widows sent the money to build this TB sanatorium. And so after a lot of toing and froing, I was admitted to the hospital. They weren't too happy to have somebody from the army there. And so I arrived there. The doctor was very nice, talked with me and talked to me, and then eventually asked me to go to the Bible class. I went to the Bible class, and in the course of his speaking, he said, if you don't know Jesus, you're lost. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior, then you're on your way to a place called hell. And this really annoyed me. I was a high-caste Hindu. I had 3 million God and goddesses. And he's telling me that if I don't know Jesus, I'm lost. If I do not accept Jesus as my personal Savior, then I'm on my way to hell. I was mad. And so I decided to buy a Bible. I bought a Bible and began reading it from cover to cover. In 1 year, I read the Bible through 3 times. Not for enlightenment, not to help me to come to Jesus. Not to bring me to my knees that I might confess him, but no, to argue with the missionary. To fight with the missionaries. And what a hard time I gave them. Until eventually, many of them would pass my bed, thinking it's a waste of time talking to him. But the missionary doctor, tenderly and lovingly and graciously, kept speaking to me, kept reminding me of my need. I brought all sorts of arguments up. I was so obnoxious. And after 18 months, I was reading Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it suddenly dawned on me that I had a wicked heart, that I had a sinful heart, that really I stood condemned in the sight of a holy God. I had heard the gospel hundreds of times. I knew that Christ died for me. I knew that he shed his blood for me in spite of the fact I was arguing and fighting. I knew that. But the God of this world had blinded my mind to the necessity of coming to put my faith in Jesus, to the necessity of being born again of the Spirit, to the necessity of coming to be washed in the blood. And I got out of my bed, and I asked the Lord Jesus to cleanse me and to forgive me, come into my heart and my life and make me a real Christian. And the nurse came. She saw me out of bed. Said, "What are you doing out of bed? I've just got saved. How could you get saved? You were arguing and fighting with us last night. How could you get saved?" But I did. You saved tonight. Has the God of this world blinded your mind to the necessity of being born again? To the necessity of coming to Christ? To the necessity of him being the only way, the truth, and the life? No man coming unto the Father but by him. Has he blinded your mind to this necessity? That you must repent and be converted? Otherwise you're on the broad way leading to destruction, leading to destruction. He blinded my mind to this necessity. I thought my 3 million God and goddesses were enough for me. But my religion never brought me any assurance of forgiveness or salvation. I worked to build up my karma for an afterlife. And here I was on my knees having asked Jesus to forgive me and cleanse me. I went to see the doctor and he was overjoyed. What? I had misled the 80 patients in the hospital. I had gone round to tell them, "Don't heed these people. They are telling you lies. Stick to your own religion." And so I had to go around and tell them that Christ is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other means of salvation apart from him. And of course, having TB, you're not supposed to speak very much. And I ended up in bed again. After a few weeks, I had to go to get the scans, etc. And then the doctor called me back again. He said, "G.S., there's something wrong. These scans don't show up anything. I'll have to do another scan." So he did another scan and sent for me again. And he said, "G.S., we can't keep you here any longer. Your TB has cleared." Oh, he said, I was so overjoyed. And I looked at some of the beds that were occupied at one time with those who were my friends for 18 months no longer there. And I thought, Lord, you must have something for me. Because I could have lost my life. Indeed, at times I felt suicidal because I thought there was nothing more left for me. And I was so thankful that you had preserved me and kept me. I had written to my parents. I had told them the good news that I had become a real born-again Christian. That I had received this forgiveness from God. That I had this hope beyond the grave. And Mum and Dad, if you want to have this hope, you've got to come the same way. Oh, they were so annoyed with me. They put my name in the obituary column. And I was dead to the family. No longer any contact with them. The eldest son, had let them down. And they wanted no more to do with me. The only thing I could do was to pray. And so I started praying. Then back into the army again, and I thought, well, Lord, you really must have a purpose for me. You have spared my life. And in spite of my arguing with the missionaries, that this doctor kept on at me, and eventually I responded to your call and to your claim. And after 6 months, I resigned from the army. People thought I was crazy. I was going on for higher things and greater things and better things, but I thought, no. I had felt the call of God to go to Bible school, Bible college. And so I went to Bangalore. But on the train, I was traveling and I had my case and everything I had in it. And I fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning and my case had gone. I went to the college just with what I had on, that was all. No money, no nothing. And I went to the college and shared with the principal and began to look around for jobs to do in the college in order that I might pay my way through the college. And that's what I did. After 4 years of training, during those 4 years, God gave me a great concern for my own people. There were those around me who had never heard the gospel. And I realized if the gospel's hid, it's hid to them who are lost. And I began to take a wee gospel team around during the vacation time. And saw souls saved. It was a great encouragement to me and to them. And at the end of the college training, I decided to form a gospel team. And so 4 others came with me. We had $5 with 5 men. One thought it was too hard, too difficult, too trying, and he never continued with us. And so we started going around preaching and saw a lot of people saved by the grace of God. Went on a tour and then we came back again. And here, these people who had got saved, they had no church. So we decided we'll have to establish churches. So we established this church and I was the pastor. And we had this gospel mission. And this girl came in and she got saved. She brought her sister. She came in and she got saved. She brought her elder sister and she got saved. And she was Sarah. And she became my wife. Now, in India, you know how they arrange the weddings. And this is me speaking. And I went to this wedding, and it was the funniest thing ever. It was the first time they had really seen each other, and they were sitting. And I said, well, that's good. You see, if when we get married in the West, if anything goes wrong, we've only ourselves to blame. You can blame your mother and your father if anything goes wrong, but nothing seems to go wrong. And so Sarah became his wife. Now, Sarah was from a very affluent family, and all her family eventually went to America, but she remained faithful to India. Now, when G.S. is away on his travels, Sarah has the responsibility for all the callers, for all the telephone calls. She has a tremendous responsibility. But what a power and power of strength she is to G.S. So they got married, and then eventually two wee girls came along. And after 8 years, they were going down the street. And who should be walking down the street but my mother? And I said to the two wee girls, that's your granny. That's your granny. So the two wee girls ran, and my two daughters took her by the hand. And after 8 years, contact was made. The children, a little child, shall lead them. And after 16 years, I had the joy of leading my mother and my father to the Lord Jesus. God answers prayer. God makes everything beautiful in His time, in His time. 16 years prior to that, I couldn't talk to them, couldn't visit with them. I was dead to the family, but now they were saved by the grace of God. And that was the joy that he had last Saturday as he preached the word, as he gave his testimony at the funeral. And God blessed, because there were those who wanted to meet with him again to learn more about the things of the Lord Jesus. So except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much, much fruit. And so we started church planting. And then, as we went around the various churches, we saw young men and young women who had a hunger for the things of God, a desire to serve Him. And so we decided to start a college to train them in the things of God, to prepare them for all that God had for them, in order that they might reach their own kith and kin. And so the Bible college started. And then, as we went around, we saw a number of children, no parents. And we decided to start a children's home. It's very interesting how God works. One time I was going to America, and I was ringing my brother-in-law who lives in New Jersey. He come and pick me up, and I looked around, and my bag was gone. All my money. I suffered from high blood pressure. All my tablets gone. And I got into a wee bit of a panic. What was I to do? I was supposed to be in Pennsylvania. I rang the pastor, and he said, oh, you need to come. Oh, but Mr. Plastic comes in very handy. And I was able to get my ticket and go to Pennsylvania. And the home I was staying, the lady said, you know, we have an Indian doctor. And so the Indian doctor came to see me, and he said, G.S. Nair. Nair? What are you doing here? Oh, he said, I'm a preacher. I'm sharing the Lord Jesus and telling people what God is doing in India. Where are you from? Trivandrum. Oh, my wife is in Trivandrum. So I gave her my wife's telephone and address. And he gave me all my tablets free. Marvelous. 2 weeks later, he rang me. He said, G.S., you never told me you had a children's home there. And my wife visited. And she said, things are very cramped there. You need to extend it. I wonder, would you mind if I give you $25,000 to extend it? Praise the Lord. You know, in the Baptist, you're able to say, praise the Lord. Did you know that? You're not prohibited. Remember that. So, isn't it amazing how God can work? Losing my case and everything in it, and yet God turned the tables, and now we were able to extend that children's home. So, God in His mercy has been very good to us. And then I went preaching in the north of India, and these women got saved. And they used to be in a business making stuff that they couldn't do as a Christian. So they said, what will we do? So we got them sewing machines. And they started a tailoring school. And it's interesting because others came in to be taught how to sew, etc. And as a result, got saved. We came across some lepers who had been healed. But because their limbs had been eaten away, etc., etc., there was no work for them. And so one pastor has felt the burden to go to work amongst these lepers, to feed them, to help them, to encourage them. And now we have a thriving church there. We now have 3 Bible colleges. And we have extension schools. These are for people who get saved later on in life. They have a wife and a family. So they can't come to the college, but the college graduates go to them. And they are taught and instructed in the things of God. And after 3 years, they graduate and commence churches in their own area. Today, there'll be 750 in training for the ministry. And to date, we have 1,800 churches established by the grace of God. We have 19 children's homes. You may remember how the tsunami hit. There was a church there 3 miles from where the tsunami came. And the pastor there came across some children whose parents had been swept away. And we built this children's home for them. I was there for the dedication of it. There are 54 children in that school, in that home. And 54 of them were all born again of the Spirit of God. It's rather amazing what God has done. The college campus, they started off with 1/3 acre. They have now 21 acres. We have a dorm for the ladies, catered for 150. A dorm for the men, catering for 500. We have built an auditorium to seat 3,500. God has really blessed in a remarkable way. God has really moved mightily. 3 months of the year, April, May, June, the whole college goes to evangelize plus the faculty. There were 23 teams went out all over India. We work in 29 of the 31 states. We have 22 churches in Burma. We have 19 churches in Nepal. Before I left for India, back home, I got text message. They had given out 5,000 New Testaments in a fortnight. And the church was asking for 4,000 in order to build, put up a building. God has moved in a remarkable way. We have a witness in Bhutan. And so not only in India, but the surrounding areas, we are seeking inroads to bring the gospel. Because if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them who are lost. So for 3 months, 23 teams went out. And as a result, 26,000 were born again of the Spirit of God. 17,000 were baptized and added to the local churches. It seems tremendous, but when you think of India, 1.3 billion people, 1.3 billion people, it's only a drop in a bucket. But we're endeavoring to do all we can in order that people might be reached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in. You know, I met the missionary doctor and his wife 2 years ago at a missionary conference in America. And they came up because they were expelled with every other missionary in 1978. That's why I decided to have Bible colleges. That's why I decided to train our own folk, train the nationals, because there's no language barrier, there's no cultural barrier, there's no climatic barrier. And of course, if a missionary would come, then I could use 50 men for the same amount as one missionary. So it stands to sense to train the nationals. This missionary and his wife, she came and she threw her arms around me. She said, "Gee, yes, we never thought. We never thought for 1 minute. When you came to the hospital that you would ever get saved, but you have. We never thought that God in his mercy would accomplish so much through one man utterly devoted to him, but he has." And I could imagine the Lord Jesus now with these four wee widows in the glory, putting four chairs down, and setting them on these chairs, and then bringing all these Indian believers along. And one of the wee women saying, "Lord Jesus, who are these? Who are these?" This is the result of you sending the money out to build a TB sanatorium. Maybe 250,000 believers. Not amazing. Poor wee widows. We thought, sure, we can do nothing for God. Sure, we can't preach nor nothing. But they sent the means whereby this TB sanatorium was built. And after 18 months in it, G.S. was wonderfully saved. I took Sarah, my wife, back to the hospital after 40 years, just recently. And some of the people came to see me, and they were amazed. Well, they said many of the people came back, but unfortunately died. And God in his mercy has preserved you and kept you. And I suddenly realized, well, Lord, it's for that purpose, that I might blaze a trail for you, that I might be the means in your hand of leading and guiding this great team. When I look back, I and three others, one of the others, he was killed in a plane crash. two are still with him. And I look around and see now 2,000 full-time workers. How thrilled I am to have a part in this. But I come to the UK. I come to Lurgan. And I look over the congregation. And I see many rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven, but I can't understand why people don't get saved here. Why people don't come to the Lord Jesus here. Oh, I know, like me, the God of this world has blinded their minds. Oh, they know all about the necessity of being born again. They know all about the necessity of coming to Christ. They know all about the necessity of turning to Him in simple faith. They know all that, but they don't realize He has blinded their minds to their responsibility. When I was reading the scriptures, all those times, I didn't realize I had a responsibility to seek the Lord while He may be found. Didn't realize I needed to call upon Him. Didn't know I had to strive to enter. Oh, many have the idea if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Don't need to do anything. God's going to do it, He's going to do it. Of course. But you have a responsibility to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Like an inspector looking for clues, leaving no stone unturned. Like an engineer seeking what's wrong with the engine. Like a doctor longing to get to the bottom of your ailment. We've got to search and seek. Got to strive. Got a call, got to come. This responsibility that you have tonight. He blinds your mind to your acceptability. You think you're not ready, you're not right. You feel as if there's this and that in your life. We think of John the Baptist speaking with Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he began to clean up his life. He didn't curse as much. He didn't swear as much. Became a wee bit more generous, a wee bit more kinder, a wee bit more loving. Oh, he cleaned up his life. He cleaned up his life, but wouldn't get rid of his pet sin. Had a responsibility to confess and forsake, but didn't do it. For him, the parting was too hard. Think the rich young ruler coming running. Oh, he realized he had a responsibility coming to the feet of Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told. But yet Jesus said, now go and sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. But the price was too high. Is that you tonight? Price is too high. Still have this pet sin. You're trying to clean up your life. Thinking it might bring you a couple of steps nearer Him. Listen, we're all sinners. Your heart's deceivable all things and desperately wicked. He that trusts in his heart's a fool. He that trusts in his heart's a fool. He blinds your mind to this necessity. But not in this church, not in the north of Ireland. Because you know you need to be born again. You know that. You know why Jesus died on the cross, why He suffered and bled and died and shed His precious blood, without which there is no forgiveness. You know that. You know you have a responsibility. When it asks the question, what then will I do? What then will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Will you receive him or reject him? Will you acknowledge him or say, away with him, away with him? I will not have this man to rule over me. Blinds your minds to your, he'll accept you. Jesus says, him that comes to me, I'll in no wise turn away, no wise cast out. Father has drawn you here tonight. The word of God is prompting your heart and your soul. He says, come, come. And then he blinds our minds to the urgency. What a week it has been for Northern Ireland. What a week. Thursday, 24-year-old, great Gaelic player, died at work in an industrial accident. Yesterday, three members of the Spence family, overcome by fumes in the slurry. This morning, in Ballymena, man knocked down and killed. Yesterday, fella stabbed. The urgency. The urgency. Listening to Nolan the other morning, a mother was on speaking about her 15-year-old. They're struck, they didn't know what it was. Tell me, are you ready to meet God? God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked might turn. Indeed, the cry through Ezekiel is, turn ye, for why will you die? You have no need to end up in hell. I have made provision for you in the person of my Son. He has taken your place. He has paid the price. He has endured the pain. He has dealt with the penalty. You have no need to. That's why I sent him. To die the just for the unjust, to bring you to me. Youth is no guarantee to life. Health is no guarantee to life. Jesus said to John, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And we've got the keys of death and hell. He's got the key tonight. And if he turns it for you or for me, there's nothing we can do about it. That's it. Over. I could have died of TB. The devil blinded me to the urgency. There were those dying around me. He blinded my eye to my responsibility, to my acceptability. But thank God for that night in June, 40 years ago, when I bowed the knee and opened my heart and brought Jesus in. Have you had such an experience? Do you know that tonight? Then if not, why not? God loves you. He's so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. If only you believe in him, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Didn't send us into the world to condemn you, but that you through him might be saved. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for seeking and for saving G.S. We thank you for Sarah, his wife, and his family. Thank you for the great things which have been achieved and accomplished. And we give thee all the praise and all the glory, because this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous and wonderful in our eyes. But Father, here we are, not in a TB sanatorium ward, here in your presence. People healthy and strong. And yet, Father, for some, the God of this world has blinded their minds. Pray tonight that the glorious light has shone in. They'll realize their need. And they'll flee to thee for mercy and for pardon. They'll realize that, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. No guarantee for tomorrow, but guarantee for now. And Father, we pray that you'll give grace, that there may be those who call upon thee and get wonderfully saved, just like G.S. You'll be brought out of darkness into your marvelous light. That tonight there'll be rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting. So bless your word to all our hearts and glorify your lovely name for Jesus' sake. Amen.